I'm Rob Rosenthal. This is Malaga Island, a story best left untold, a radio and photo documentary about racism, memory, and the 1912 state-sponsored eviction of a mixed-race community on the coast of Maine. Let's take a moment to recap a little bit. In the early 1800s, the Perry family purchased Malaga Island. Decades later, dozens of people moved to the island. They're largely law-abiding and church-going. The town of Phippsburg provides financial support for some, but the economy takes a plunge and it gets tough to offer aid. Tourism might hold the key to reviving the slumping economy, but Malaga's squalor and bad press don't help matters, especially in the age of eugenics. Phippsburg sees Malaga as a problem and tries to relocate Malaga to the town of Harpswell. Well, Harpswell isn't interested, and they argue back and forth. Eventually, the state breaks up the fight between the two towns and takes responsibility for the island and the islanders. In 1908, missionaries build a school on Malaga against the wishes of the Perry family, but the school is successful, and conditions on the island improve. Maine's governor visits the island. He defends the right of the people to remain and receive support. And that brings us to July of 1911.
Honey, what?
Oh, my honey,
what?
Let me take you to Alexander's grandstand. Ain't you coming along?
In Maine, tourism was huge during the summer of 1911. One paper reported it was the best year for tourism ever in the New Meadows River area. 1911 was also a big year for prohibition in Maine. Governor Plaisted lobbied hard to repeal the ban on alcohol. His foes in the Women's Christian Temperance Union were dead set against a repeal. They fought it out in the press and in street protests. A referendum was held, and the governor lost. Prohibition remained. And 1911 was a pivotal year for the Malaga community. It marked the beginning of the end.
The inhabitants of the island are very nearly terrified. One of them said today that they were expecting the sheriff any time to put them off the island, but they did not know where they could go. Shiftless and undesirable as they are, it's pitiful to see them as they gather in little knots about the island and in their peculiar way discuss what is to become of them.
The islanders are alarmed because of a calamitous piece of news. Completely out of the blue, after decades of not paying too much attention to Malaga, the Perrys want the community gone. Associated Press reporter Alan Breed.
Suddenly a white guy shows up and says, we own this place and we're going to kick you off. If you don't get off, we're going to file a writ against you, which they then did.
What happens now is rather complicated, but here's the short story. In August of 1911, the Perrys file in court to have the island cleared. Then the Malaga Island Settlement Association, the organization that supports the islanders, they offer to buy the island. They want to keep the community intact. The Perrys start to negotiate, then they change their mind. Instead, they sell the island to the state of Maine for $400.
Well, that just turns out to be exactly the price that the Malaga group thought they had negotiated for the purchase of the island. From letters and other accounts that I've seen from them, they were clearly shocked at this development. The state stepped in and basically pulled the rug out from under them.
With the island in state hands, Governor Plaisted picks up where the Perrys left off. He thwarts the interests of the Malaga Association and orders the eviction. This critical moment in the Malaga story remains a mystery. Why did the Perrys change their minds? Why did Plaisted change his mind? First he wants to help everyone, then a few months later he buys the island and kicks everyone off. Was it racism? Economics and tourism? Eugenics? Most Malaga Island researchers answer yes on all accounts. Alan Breed adds a new theory, political retribution.
Governor Plaisted, he rode into office on the promise of repealing prohibition in Maine, get the sale of alcohol legalized again in Maine so that it can generate revenue. And he fought a bitter campaign in the press throughout 1911 trying to get this done. And around the time that he goes to the island in July and he comes back with these professions of wanting to do only good and leave the people in place, in the next couple of months, he finds out that his bid to end prohibition fails and fails miserably. It turns out that the people who were the loudest opponents were also the loudest supporters of the Malaga settlement. Some members of the Malaga Settlement Association were movers and shakers and leaders in the Women's Christian Temperance Union. Folks publicly referred to him as the Rum Governor and were actively parading and campaigning in the streets of Portland. It's hard to say, but it wouldn't surprise me to find out this was basically political payback for the people who had scuttled his biggest ambition.